obviously these are suyas that are go much deeper than the way I'm going to be explaining it. There's a famous story that they say, you know, they have Mashkiach comes into the factory, and the shipment of oil is supposed to come in, and they see that it was the wrong shipment. It wasn't kosher. I know I was with my father, Zayin Gesund, and he became, everything was ready to go, and then the numbers didn't match. You know, the oil, the barrels of oil that came in were not kosher. So the way the story goes is, you know, so the Rav, the Mashkiach, said, you know, we can't produce. You know, we can't, we're not making a run today. So Goy walks up to the Rav and says, Rabbi, why don't you just tie a string around the barrels? So Rav said, what do you mean, tie a string around the barrels? He said, well, you know, once I saw some, you know, rabbi walking around my house in my backyard or something, and I went outside and I asked him, what are you doing? You know, what is this you're doing and looking up and this and that? He told me, he said, well, you know, us Jews are not allowed to carry on the Sabbath outside in the public domain. But if you put a string around the area, then everything's all right. So we see if you put string around things, it's all right. So put a string around the barrel and everything will be all right. So there's much more to this string that goes around the city than we think. You know, not just simple as putting a string around. And so we'll get a little taste of it, Yisr Hashem, as we go on. So we have the Isser Hatzon, Shabbos, to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, Isser Deraisa, Dalamas, Rishus HaRabim, Isser Deraisa, and we have a Carmelis, which is not a real Rishus HaRabim. There's an Isser Drabanan to carry in it. And so now we have to discuss what is considered Rishus HaRabim. Why is it important to know what a Rishus HaRabim is? Does it make a difference whether we carry outside, is this a derisa, drabana? Either way, just make an error. So the reason is because it's not so pashut an eruv works if it's a real Rishus HaRabim. Definitely you see from the Gemara in Dabba, beginning of Erevin, that the Gemara discusses, you know, how you ma'arev Rishus HaRabim. Chazal required that to go and enclose Rishus HaRabim, it's not enough making it tzuras at Pesach. You need delusus, you need walls and delusus, you know, doors and, you know, something more than a regular, we call Erev tzuras at Pesach, is not going to be enough for a real Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, we have to know what is a Rishus HaRabim or not. Because if it's Rishus HaRabim, we cannot make an Erev. That's the whole discussion in different places in New York and already in Europe, in different cities in Europe, large cities, is it a Rishus HaRabim or not? Why? Because if it's a real Rishus HaRabim, an Erev is not going to help. An Erev is not going to work. So what is Rishus HaRabim? So the real sugya of Rishus HaRabim is in the first parak of Shabbos, but the Rashi in three different prakim in here in the first, fourth, and fifth parak, Rashi keeps on saying over and over here, Maseches Erevin, something which changes the whole picture. What Chazal tell us in Maseches Shabbos, Rishus HaRabim is the street that's 16 amos wide. That doesn't just mean street, count the sidewalk also. And so it doesn't take that much to be 16 amos wide. You know, if you count the street and sidewalk, you know, even a side street, it doesn't have to be any major street for this, you know, 16 amos wide. And it has to be uncovered, meaning there's no, you know, it's not like a tunnel or something, it's uncovered. And that'll be a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. Rashi here starts filling us in with a few more pratim. And again, this by itself is a sugya which, you know, is for the Gedolim to be machriya in. But Rashi says over here that you need to have Mitsuyim Bas Shishim Riba. You have to have 600,000 people in that particular area, you know, walking on the streets. And he also adds in that the Sha'arim, meaning you go, you know, this street goes from straight to the city, and the Sha'arim from the beginning of the city to the end of the city, from one end to the other, is Mechuvan Mishar Lashar, Shema Foolish. Doma the Digle Midbar, where there are 600,000 people, he's from 20 to 60, traveling in the Midbar. There's no mucker to this in Chazal, and that's where the Rishonim ask on this, you know, where is it? And Tosfos already starts, and it has an earlier Makor to the Bahag. But this, without Rashi, with just a Pashut Tes Zayin Amah, you know, then every city would be Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And we could still go and enclose the city. We would need delusos, and, you know, much more than just a string. We'd have to build doors and things, and there are communities that have done this. But certainly in a large city, it's not so practical. Exactly how to understand Rashi, what does 600,000 people mean? Walking in cars every day, traveling, walking around. You know, how do we find that? Again, these are all pratim, which is beyond the scope of this year. What does Rashi mean? That has me mechuv mishar l'shar, exactly, even a straight road, you know, no curves. Also, you know, that's something beyond the scope of the shiur, how to interpret that. And these are all details, but very important details that can make a very large difference. But Rashi, at least, Rashi and the Bahag opened up the door that our cities, you know, that we have here, and we don't have to come on to, you know, American cities. You pick some old shtetl. An old shtetl would also could have a street, the main street in an old shtetl could also be 16 amas wide. It doesn't take that much to do it. So Rashi tells you need 600,000 people. The Rambam doesn't mention this. The Ramban and Rashba argue with Rashi. We have a whole machlokas he's shown him here. Both shitas are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Mem Hei. Someone could bring me a chelik dalet, please. Thank you. And so the Machaber first brings down the Rambam Shita, that just Tezayinam is itself is Rosh Hashanah Rambam. And then the Machaber brings down Shita's Rashi. Stam Yishomrim, usually we say the Machaber posits like Stam and he's Machmir. Some say the steers in the Machaber. Again, all this, so a lot is written in all this. The Ramah, thank you very much, the Ramah clearly goes like Rashi. Ramah clearly goes as far as Ashkenazim are concerned. The Ramah Paskin is like Rashi. And says the meaning is like, you know, that we hold that you need 600,000 people. Not the Ramah, it's interesting. Not the Ramah there, Ramah later on, Derech Agav, and I think Simon Shimon Zion. He mentions Derech Agav over there. And you see, now, when we want to build an Erev in a city, we have to decide, is this Rosh Hashanah Rabbah or not? So, being that every city is going to have a street to Zion Amas, the only way we could build it is based upon Rashi. Now, do we pass it like Rashi or not? The Monoram and the Taz, together with Ramah, are certainly saying, at least the way Ashkenaz were knowing, is like Rashi. And that definitely seems like that is the Minigola. The Mishkan is Yaakov, in the 1800s, in the early 1800s, he wrote a very lengthy tshuva that basically will apostle every single Erev in the world. You know, I mean, every city Erev. And that's, and they had city Erevim already in his time. And he proved that Rov Yishonim are Machmir. Rov Yishonim don't go like Rashi. The Beis Ephraim, a contemporary of his, the Beis Ephraim argued and said, no, that's not the way to count it up. Rov Yishonim are Mako. And that is the Minhag HaOlam. And the Erev in the world are kosher. And again, I'm oversimplifying all this. This is, you know, a lot of, there's a lot that, it's anyone who really wants to understand the sugya should go through Larichas, the Shaka Tari between the Mishkas Yaakov and the Beis Ephraim, because they are a lot of Yesodos in there for our modern day Erevim. The Chavetz Chaim puts a lot of weight on the Mishkas Yaakov. The Chavetz Chaim in several Birlochas, seems to hold that Rov Yishonim are Machmir. It's not so pashut the way the Velt is knowing, just to go like Rashi. It's not so pashut to do that. And then, you know, he says Lashon is like Baal Yorei Shemayim, Yorei Shemayim. Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Question is, who's a Baal Nefesh? Who's a Yorei Shemayim? But he's the Bialocha puts more, a lot of emphasis on the soda of the Mishkas Yaakov. The Chazon Ish on the other side really put more emphasis. We think the Chazon Ish is being a machmir, but the Chazon Ish, the Gabi City Erevin, Gidrei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he held that it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He had other different svaras too, but at the end of the day, what comes out is he holds that, you know, it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Derech HaShulchan writes that it's so clear that we paskin like Rashi, that that it's like a piska came down from Shemayim, a kvittel came down from Shemayim, saying that that's the halacha. You know, that's there was the Orcha Shulchan, you know, always madgish the minig olam. And that is, lamaisa is, that is the minig. I once asked someone who learned by the Chofetz Chaim, and I said, well, in Radin, do they have streets that are 16 amas? I guess you could go today and see. But he said, yeah, you know. He said, yeah, we had streets. I said, do they use the city, the Erev in Radin? And again, because the Chofetz Chaim is saying, Yoy Shemayim Baal Nefesh Rimacher. He said, yeah, everybody used the Erev. Well, I said, well, did the Tamidim in the Yeshiva use the Erev? I know the Bali Batim, but Tamidim Yeshiva says, yeah, only the Yeshiva did. He said, only the Chofetz Chaim did. I don't know about the Granat, maybe he didn't either, but, you know, but the, he said, yeah, I guess we had to know who, well, what's the Baal Nefesh, what's the Yoreh Shemayim. But it's only the Gavi, this particular sugya. Again, then you have a sugya which goes into the New York and other areas of, you know, what's, maybe there are 600,000 people on certain streets, and that's a sugya I'm not going to go into now. You know, well, that's assuming that, you know, we don't have 600,000, and therefore, right now, our city is a Carmelis, and we could build an Erev. We could build it, an Erev, we call it, it's really, Erev is a borrowed term, we could build a Tzuras of Pesach around the city. There's another issue, is that there's a Machlokis, later on in the second parak of Erev, Machlokis Tanayim in the Mishnah, Machlokis and Meroyim had a Paskin. Whether do we say that the rabbim can mevatel mechitza, can mevatel mechitza? That if you have a rishus rabbim, say you do have a real rishus rabbim, and you have mechitzas going around this, but there's openings in that mechitza where the people travel back and forth. So you have a city, and there's a rishus rabbim, and you have your 600,000 people, but you build mechitzas around it. Or you build a Tzuras of Pesach around it. You build an Erev on a Shus Rabim. How bad is that? And it's Machlokas Tanayim, Machlokas Merayim, whether it's worthless. Once you have a Shus Rabim, it's an Issa Daraisa. Because Rabim are Mavatu Mechitza. Those Mechitza that exist are nothing. The Batu Mavutu, once you have a Shus Rabim. Or do we say that no, that Lo Asi Rabim Mavatu Mechitza, that the Mechitzas are good Mechitzas. And this that you cannot build a Eruv around a Shus Rabim is only Midrabanan. That's what Chazal required. You have to have doors and Delosan. That's only Midrabanan. It's only Midrabanan that's required. And it's Machlok has had a Paskin, and it seems to be it's two Shitas in the Shulchan Aruch. Simin Shin Samach Dalet. It seems to be that those are the way the Mishavura learns the Shulchan Aruch is the two Shitas. So the Chofetz Chaim was a taina to try to miyashiv the minig that if we have a Rishus HaRabim and it's, you know, it's Tezayin Amos or Rishus HaRabim, not like Rashi, how can everyone maybe be somach on the Erev? He says, well, we betzirut the fact that there are shitas at hold that if there's an Erev around a city, at least Daraisa it'll work, although Midrabanan won't work, and Midrabanan was somach on Rashi that it's a Carmelis and you don't need the losses. But there are communities, like you see this in Eretz Yisrael, whether like in Mattersdorf and Unsdorf, in that area, you see the Mamish put doors there. And they, because they're choshesh that Tezayin Amish is a rabbim, and they're going to the extreme of every single chumrah, and therefore the Mamish put the losses there. And there's a whole shaila, you know, those losses have to be closed all the time, once a week, how often they have to be closed to be considered proper delosses. Do you have to have a tzuras of Pesach on top of the delosses, or just the door by itself is enough? And when you build a large city Erev, you know, you're not going to be where you work out with the losses. Usually, you know, we're going to have to, you build we call it an Erev, you know, using a string and something. And therefore, we're relying on Rashi, and that, it's a Carmelis. So now, yeah, and the Mamish close the sidewalk and close off the Hoshis around. Sometimes when you build an Eruv, there's an area where legally or something you cannot build a Tzuras HaPesach. So then we have to rely on having the losses that are closed once in a while. And, so something we do use the losses once in a while for something, but on the average, it's not really applied.
It has to block people out from going out.
Yeah. So So now we at least we're down that we have Rashi Shita, which we're knowing like, and you know, Baal Nefesh, Yoy Shai, Wan Simach. That's one reason why people would not want to use an Eruv, is because the Choshish, not like Rashi. The Choshish for the Rambam and the way in the Mishkas Yaakov's Mahachra, Chavetz Chaim's Hadgasha, and that's one reason. But the Minhag Olam has been, for Dori Dor, certainly amongst Ashkenazim, that we do use an Eruv, and we're Samach on Rashi. The Chassam Sofer and others were madgish the importance of having an Eruv, because people will be nichshol in Hatzah. It's so easy to carry something. And I've seen this, you know, if you don't know Hilchos Hatzah. I've been in New York, you know, this is pre-Eruv, not getting involved in hell. But, you know, your average balabas, the way he has his key, and you know, now they have push button, his key and this and that, and the handkerchief, and all, it is. Today maybe it's a little easier because we don't use handkerchiefs, we don't have keys anymore, but it's so easy to be nichshol in Hatzah. And therefore they we see already in the Gemara the importance of making Eruv Chatzeros and making sure you could carry, but the Chassam Sofer extends even to building a city Eruv, that the importance of doing it, and there's a tragic story told over by Yerushalmi Zalman Orbach Zatzal, how when they built the Yerushalayim Eruv, and this goes back in the yishuv, the Zman of the Prushim, the old yishuv, and a certain group of people did not want to be mishtatef with the Erev, because they held, you know, no, we don't mean those Erevin and Shisrabim and everything else, and they didn't want to be mishtatef financially, and Shlomo Zalman tells that it was that there was a lot of tragedies that happened in that particular kehillah. Because of that. That's what he held, is because they wouldn't want to be shtatif in the Erev. Obviously, Hakol if you're Indian, had to know how to apply this, but you do see that it's, you know, it's something that has to, you know, that's important to have an Erev. At the same time, many are concerned about having an Erev because, number one, you totally forget about the Malach of Hatzah. There's only 38 Malachas, you know. The 39th one, that's forgotten about, the Hatzah. And also because it's used improperly. That goes with playing ball and so on and so forth, and you know, which ruins the whole Ruach of Shabbos. In Europe, cities had Erevin, and they needed Erevin. They got their cholent from a central baker's oven, and for other reasons, that's what, you know. But, you know, we see later on in Europe they had Erevin even where it wasn't so as necessary. The minhag was always to have Erevin, and they definitely... It could enhance the Shabbos for women and thing, and it's very important to have an Erev to stop Mitmech Sholem, but it has to be made right, and it has to be used in a proper fashion. So now let's discuss some more about the Etzim Erev itself. So we have to have mechitzas. when we build an Erev, we have to build mechitzas around the city. And they have to be completely built around the whole city. So how do we do that? How do we build mechitzas around the city? So it's certainly much easier, and it saves a lot of money, if there already are mechitzas. You can use mechitzas bidei adam, like a tel mislakit. If you happen to have an incline of the ground that goes a shipua of 4 amas within 10 tefachim, that's considered high enough that that's considered a mechitza. That ground, when it's that much of an incline, which is rounding up around 25 degrees, that's considered, and that is considered a mechitza. So, for example, if you have mountains surrounding a city, you know, that by itself, the mechitzas bidei shemaim, that could act as a good mechitza. Depending on the case, sometimes you could use a bank of a river. Again, there's all different shahs that go into this. The bank of a river, depending how big the incline is, and SB, you know, has to go 4 amas, and the shipur, 4 amas within 10 tefachim. And that's, here in the Baltimore area, we do use what we call this tel hamislaki, which is really a sugi in Hazorah, Gitav, Kuf, and Shabbos. But we do use the tel hamislaki for part of the Erev, where they're on the off of 83, the Jones Falls Expressway, and near Sinai Hospital, going Northern Parkway. You do use a tel mislakit for those areas. You have to measure. Sometimes when you built the Erev, you know, 30 years ago, it was enough an incline. But after all the rain, It wears away. And the way to measure that is you build this with the same proportion. This is built with the same proportion as the Mount of Attila Mislaki. This angle over here is your 25 degrees. It's 24.63 to be exact. And you go and put this on your hill, on the tail, on the hill, and you put this on top of it. And if you see that it's going this way, then you know it's high enough. If you see that it's going a little bit down, then it's not, the incline is not big enough. You know, you have to make sure. And sometimes it's a little tricky. You know, sometimes the bottom part is not, and then the top goes high, the incline it doesn't. You have to make sure that you have a consistent area of, you know, Vitel Mislakit. You could make this in all different proportions. I've seen one that was, they literally did it, you know, 10 feet on. I asked the person, I was in another city, I said, why don't you just make it shorter, you know, make it easier to use. And well, also it depends on how big the hill is and the slant. Sometimes having it bigger could be easier. But this is a nice size to use. It's a nice, simple way of measuring the incline. The Bichacher, the Eshon Bichach, says to make this. He tells you, make a thing like this with it, you know, the Chaf Pshut, I think he calls it, and tells you the incline, you know, how to make it. This is a little bit different than the way he said to make it, because of a different style or whatever, but that's he's the one that said how to make this particular way of measuring the Tel Mislaki. So we have a Tel Mislaki.
How often do you have to check a Tel Mislaki?
Yeah, there's no...
You can assume that it's not going to go down that long.
Yeah. I don't want to answer that question. Sorry. Okay. No, a lot of these are talking about Tzidus. I'm not just going to get to the basic Roshi Prakim here. So fine. So we have a Tel Mislaki. Then we also have walls. And while we have fences, highways have fences, whether it's the sound wall or a fence, they always have a fence itself usually. There's pierces in those fence. When you have exits, there's a pierce in another fence. But, you know, but that's very, very, you know, that helps out when you have walls and you have subway, the subway walls, I'm talking about when they're in the ground, not above ground. Then the subway walls, which we use here in Baltimore, we use all that. We use the highway walls, we use the subway wall. And so that really saves, you know, the nice solid cement wall that's not going anywhere, you know, that doesn't come down in ice storms. And so that's very helpful. So those are all mechitzas, they're 10 tefachim high. But we can't have a pirtza in these mechitzas. I mean, it has to be complete. And this comes to the sugya, which, you know, this is daf vav zayin, starts in daf hey, daf vav zayin, about having a pirtza. When you have a pirtza, break in a... in your mechitzas. There are talking about a chatzir or a mavoi that has these nice walls around it, and there's a pirtza. And how big does a pirtza have to be? We have already been in the Mishnah in the Daf Beis that, you know, certainly a pirtza that's a pirtza of 10 amas that is considered a pirtza. You know, a pirtza that's more than 10 amas is considered a pirtza. So we always have to make sure that there shouldn't be 10 amas break in this wall. What is the shear of 10 amas? You know, that depends. We use the Chaim Noz shear, Moshe shear, the Chazanish shear. It's interesting. In the Machlokis, in the, what the shear of an amma is, the Chazanish writes that it's his amma. It says, because in Yerushalayim, when they have a pierce in the Eruv, they use my shear. You know. I mean, it's not his shear. He's claiming that was a shear that was used and accepted in Europe. He said, they use that shear. And so Rav Chaim Noah writes, says, I live in Yerushalayim, and they don't use that shear. He says, they don't use that shear. You know, it's so, you know, that's part of the, he's been trying to bring raya, so to say, what the shear is. And here we need, it's using a bigger shear as a kula. The chazni should be a kula here, you know, the, and sometimes it comes down, and sometimes when, you know, there's a storm and something, and it comes down to, you know, that mamish, you know, what is the shear, the chazanish or chayim noah, sometimes it can make a difference in what the shear of a pirtza is. Now, the Gemara, and the pashas of the Gemara is machal between a mavoi and a chatzir, and that's going to be something which makes a difference throughout. Just to be kitzer, we see in the Gemara here, a chatzir is you have, you know, two houses open into a courtyard, that's a chatzir. Then you have two of those chatzeres that open to a larger courtyard, that's a mavoi. And they don't have the same halacha lagavi pirtzis. I'm not going to get into the reason why. They don't share the same halacha. And mavoi is more chomer. A mavoi, even a pirtza that's not more than 10 amas, if it's boki berabim, people walk through that pirtza and have to find how many people that means, then it's that's a pirtza, unless it's less than 4 tefachim. If it's a chatzir, it always standard 10 amas. And what do our cities have? This makes a difference. When a truck comes, there's a car accident, and they bash down part of the fence, and they're fixing the highway wall, whatever it is, and they make a pirtz in it, and it's not more than 10 amas. Now, do our cities have a din of a chatzir or a mavoi? We don't live the same way they live in the time of Chazal. You know, when you go to European cities, I was in Russia, you know, mamash see, like a chatzir mavoi there. You mamash see that concept, you know, in older parts. But, you know, today, and certainly in American cities with houses and apartment buildings and things, you know, you can learn an apartment building as a chatzir and a few apartment buildings as a mavoi. You know, but how do you look at our cities? Is it a mavoi or is it a chatzir? And Chazal give different gedarim what a mavoi and a chatzir is, but cities just don't seem to fit anywhere. But they got to be one of those two. And it makes a big nafka mina. The Mount of Ram is mesupik, and he's out of a suffik. He's machmir. They give our cities a din mavoi, and if we have to make sure if it's a pirtza that's passable, either potentially or some say physically, people go through it, then even less than 10 amos is a problem. Or the Ma'arit and others hold it. No, it's a chatzir and it's fine. And there's a beis meir, chazanish, and it goes on and on. L'maisa, we tend to want to be machmir that it's a mavoi, and therefore that's why when we build an eruv, we really want to make. We don't want to make sure there's pirtzes there. You know, less than tal tefachim, fine. Even then, when you build an eruv, you try to build it, 100%. If something goes wrong and there's a car accident an hour before Shabbos, and you don't have time to fix it, then we got to don. Is there what to be somachan? That it's a is a boki barabim, is it a mavoi chatzir, is it a boki barabim, and these are things. These are from the more difficult sugyas in Hilchos Erevin. Pirtzah by itself, the sugya of pirtzahs is a difficult sugya. It's interesting. The Gemara discusses a mavoi akum, a mavoi that's like an L. You know that this mavoi is like an L. So at either end you put your tzuras ha-pesach. You know, so you got an eruv at each end that to close it off and make into a shis ha-yachin. But at the L part where it connects, where it turns over here, the Gemara says that where it comes out l'alacha. It's machlokas how to learn the sugya, what comes out the sugya, but what comes out will be the shulchan of paskins. That you need something there too. You need either a tzuras ha-pesach there or a lechi. You know, I got to put a lechi there. You know, just a stick that is 10 tefachim high. That at the place where it bends, you need to have some type of something there to act as some type of mechitza. So the poskim ask that. Here, we build a tzuras ha-pesach going all around our city. Got an eruv going all around the city, subway, train fences, we got everything's fine, but every single block in the city is going to need something else. They're going to need a tzuras ha-pesach, a lechi or something, and lo shamanu davar kazeh. And the poskim are made that the minig is timekel, that you just make sure you got eruv going all around, and don't worry about every single block between Strathmore and Pinckney, and Taney, you got to have another. Every single block's going to need another little lechi and something. And you got to fix up all the inner places within the city. The shala is why? Why? So if you say that our cities have a din of a chutzir, then it's fine. A chutzir akum doesn't need these inner lechis. If you say it's a mavoi, then it's going to need. So you say, well, we have a din chatzir. Okay, so this is going to be an ongoing issue. Do our cities have a din chatzir? They have a din mavoi. And there's chumas and kulas in both ways. The ma'is of the minig is not to. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shlomo has a whole kuntris to Miyashev the Minig why we don't have inner lechis within every block in the city. Because he writes that the reasons given by the Gedolei Achron and the Magen Avraham and others don't necessarily apply to modern day cities, and therefore we have to think of different svaras to Miyashev why we can't use the same yeshuvim anymore. We have to have other yeshuvim. He quotes a Marit, which might apply to modern day cities. Marit's already in the 15 beginning 1600s, but then he says, and the dons on that, the whole country is to Miyashev why we don't do it. There's another reason, someone that doesn't want to use an Erev besides with Shisarabim, even if he's the real Carmelist, he might want to say, well, we need, it's a Mavayaka Mishav. The Mishavur is made that we also don't do it. And he discusses that too, how come we don't do it? But he doesn't really explain in modern day cities, or someone's Zaman takes it to like the 20th century. So now we have our Tzuras HaPesach going all around the city. We make sure there aren't any pirches there. If there are any pirches, we have to see whether it's 10 amos or not, and or sometimes even dal tefachim, and so on and so forth. Comes the Rambam. The Rambam writes that when you make a Tzuras HaPesach, let's discuss Tzuras HaPesach now. It's interesting. One would think that Masechet Erevin has a whole discussion about a Tzuras HaPesach. It's really one small sugya, Daf Yud Aleph. And that's really the main thing. That's what Tzuras HaPesach is all about. That Chazal tell us that you have a Kona Mikan, Bekona Mikan, Bekona Al Gabayim. Very little is written about what we call an Eruv, a Tzuras HaPesach, a string type Eruv. The Dion on a lot of and all the different pratim about it are more in Achronim and in the Tshuvas. And they're learning from Dinei Lechi and not Dinei Lechi. And Chazal tell us that an entrance to Mavoi, if it's more than 10 amos, you could put a Lechi there. Just put a stick there and that acts that and that's enough. So therefore they learn that we could compare a Tzuras HaPesach, the Kona Mikan, the side post to Lechi. I mean, all it is being Madama Milsa, but there's very little written about a Tzuras HaPesach. But most Erevin today are built with Tzuras HaPesach, at least a good amount of the Erev. In the Baltimore Erev, Rovid is not. Rovid is real Mechitzes. But the Erev is going to involve a Tzuras HaPesach. Comes the Rambam and says that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, and Tzuras HaPesach has a mile, it could work, more than 10 amas. A lechi yekor only works if it's under 10 to 10 amos or less, but a Tzuras HaPesach works even if it's more than 10 amos. He said, but that'll only work if it's omeid, if it's parach muval omeid, you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach that's more than 10 amos. So if you don't have all mechitzas all around, or mechitzas on both sides or something, and then you just want to fix up one part of it with the Tzuras HaPesach, a large Tzuras HaPesach one time is fine. But you want to build, go around a whole city, most of the city, whatever, with a Tzuras HaPesach Erev, it's not going to work according to the Rambam. And the Mishibura writes that it's nachon to be choshish for this Rambam. According to the Rambam, a lot of city Erevim will not work out. Again, the Baltimore Erev could still work out because it's Rov Mechitzes, but a lot of city Erevim, or even little Erevin around yeshivas, around little kehilas, that it's mostly just tours of it, are not going to work out. It's not going to work, according to the Rambam. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan says the Minig isn't like the Rambam. And most Rishonim don't like the Rambam. And therefore, but that's another reason why someone would not want to use an Erev, because he's kosher for the Rambam. Ramosha says the Minig is not like the Rambam. But that's another reason why someone would want to be Machmir, not to use even a good, solid, Carmelist Erev. For example, the Erev in Yeshiva. It's a pure Carmelist. It's not a Rosh Hashanah at all. There's nothing, no road that's mefulish there or anything. And but they're not being sumach on the Rambam. I remember when I was a bacher, there was an Erev in Chabura, and there was a talk that, why aren't we choshev the Rambam in Yeshiva? We should build the Erev in a way that we choshev the Rambam. It's not so clear how to do it there. It's a little complicated. But Lamaisa, it's You know, we're not knowing, like, generally speaking, not knowing like the Rambam. Okay, so now we're going to build a Tirus of Pesach. So to build a Tirus of Pesach, you have to have a Kana Mikan, a Kana Mikan, and a Kana Agabeya. So the Kana has to be 10 Tefachim high, and the Kana on top, which is the Mashkof that goes on top of it, creates the Tirus of Pesach, has to be on top, Agabeya. And it can't be minatzad, the way we pass in the East. And that's how it was brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And there was a whole discussion in Europe when they started to have the telegraph wires, even before telephone, of the telegraph wires were on the side. And the shala came up, of, you know, can you go and use those wires? And this is the Gedolei Achronim in Europe discussed the shala. And they said it's puzzle for two reasons. Someone the Taina is puzzle for two reasons. Number one, it's minat sad. It's not al gabeim, it's not on top. And number two, it's not designed for the Erev. It's designed for telegraph. It's designed for telephone. It's designed for electricity. It's not designed for an Erev. And that's what the Yeshurus Malko and the Torah Chesed both held, that an Erev has to be built for an Erev. We do have this concept of a lechi that it was created may love, it wasn't created for the purpose of a lechi, is that good enough? And do we borrow that concept over to Tzuras HaPesach? Again, it's going to be an ongoing issue. Do we take the mavoi lechi and bring that into Dinei Tzuras HaPesach? And for something, yes, something's not. And that's going to, because very little is written about Tzuras HaPesach. Yeah, so there's Meiri that says if it's made for a Tzuras HaPesach, it's a real binyan, and then that for sure would be all right. And so he writes, it'll be even minatzad would be all right in that, if it's a real binyan. Yeah. So we have to define what's considered. And this comes up in Hilchos Mezuzah and in Hilchos Sukkah. The whole Magen Avraham, Yerushalmi there about this concept. And it's the Chazon Ish, again, the akul of the Chazon Ish was koveya, it does not have to be made for an Erev. And we can use the telephone poles. Mishpura doesn't really discuss this. Mishpura doesn't discuss so many modern-day shilas, so to say, in Hilchos Erevin. Kedarka Bakodesh, he purposely stayed away from it throughout the whole six chalakim of Shulchan Aruch of Mishpura. He didn't get into the latest shilas of the time. Purposely stayed away from that. But the Chazon Ish is kaveya that it does work. It does not have to be. And that's what all of Erevin are based upon. All of Erevin are based upon this fact. Now, was the minig in Europe to use telegraph wires as long as they were all gabav. You still have to be on top of it. That depends on how they were hung. Now the shaila is then the Gemara dons the machlokas everything Gemara. Does the kana have to go and touch the kana agabeya? Do the side posts have to touch the top kana or the top string? And we paskin it doesn't. You say good asik and it goes up. And it's fine. So your wire could be very high up, and you don't have to go and build something going all the way up, as long as it's say good asik, and it's fine. And it's a little tricky. That's something which sometimes you've got to use a laser thing to really know that the kana is underneath it. It tricks the eye. You know, sometimes it looks like it's underneath it, it's really not. That's why sometimes when there isn't enough time to go and measure it and fix it properly, they just put a large piece of wood there, you know, and then they just know they for sure got under the string, you know, and that's a good temporary fix. Sometimes it's a permanent fix, whatever, but that's it's got to be, God's got to go hit it underneath. And that's why, certainly when one builds an Eruv, a good, solid, long-lasting Eruv, you want to build it at it goes all the way up. You don't want to rely so much on good asik, because things move, telephone poles move in the ground, as has been proven, and you know, you could build it and it could be mamash underneath 10 years ago, but now it's no longer underneath, and it's just a little bit of movement can make the difference. And that's something when we check the Eruv, that also they check that. You know, there's a certain pole, and they can't check it every single week, every single pole to make sure, but you know, that is something. The one that checks the Eruv, he looks upon to see are there any changes or anything. And sometimes it's gotta be, you know, they gotta fix it up. It's interesting. If you have a pole on an angle, you don't look at it. The Chaznish and the Avnezer discuss it. And it's really Rashi tells us, you don't say good asik in the direction of the pole. You say good asik always going in a vertical position, you know, like this. So if you want to have it on top of this pole, you got to have it over here. You can't have it over here. It doesn't continue good asik in the direction of the tilt of the kana. And again, that's something which is kind of tricky. So then the shala comes up that, okay, we're going to build a, you know, we're going to build a kana mikan, kana al gabayim. How straight do these things have to be? Can you have a kana over here? Can you have the string, you know, with a slope in it? Or can it be going on, you know, like an arch, you know, a kippah? So this is a sugya on Daf Yud Aleph, the sugya of kippah, which is a difficult sugya. But the Ritva, we come down from that sugya, the Ritva Divri Yecheskel brings this Ritva down the halacha. Ritva comes out that your kanam have to be straight, your kana on top, your string has to be straight, everything's got to be straight. And based upon that, that can sometimes be difficult when you're dealing with city wires, very heavy wires, and they are much straighter than they used to be in Europe. But they do slope, depending on the case, depending on, you know, they do slope. And you also have kanim that are not always straight. Maybe they were straight and they aren't straight, or they started off not being straight. And the shala comes up, you know, is that good enough? And it sounds like from the Ritva that it's not going to be good. Most poskim say that it's fine. And the Mishbur clearly holds that you could have a kana on an angle. The Chazanish, at least in the Chazanish, is Mekel. Some say that he himself passed him to be machmer on it. But in his Sefer, he's Mekel about it. Shlomo Kluger is machmer. I was once by a city, and there was machlokas in the city to use the Erev or not, which is not not an uncommon issue. But this was interesting. This was machlokas even amongst, you know, it was a friendly machlokas, so to say, you know. Even amongst within B'nai Torah itself, some did, some didn't. So I said, what's the nekudas machlokas here? The person told me, well, there's poles that are on an angle. You know, are we choshish for a Shlomo Kluger or not? That was the, you know, there's got to be straight for this Ritva or not. Shlomo Kluger doesn't bring down Ritva, but, you know, his kumar could be based upon the Ritva. So most poskim are mekel, and you know, it's always good to have nice straight things. When you build an erev lechatchila, you try to make sure everything is straight. You know, not always easier said than done. And Mila Maisa Paskin that if it's on an angle, it's fine. It's got to have a sheer mechitza, meaning because a lechi is called a mechitza. So this lechi has to be in a shipur of 4 amos within 10 tefachim. It can't be less than a 25-degree angle, 24.6. If it's that, you know, then it, but as long as it's not less than that, then it will be considered a good kana. And the same thing for the kana al gabayim. The Mishkas Yaakov, who I mentioned before, is very machmir by Erevin. He wasn't just machmir in Gidrei Shusarabim. He also had a lot of chumras in Gidrei Tzeres HaPesach. And he also held that everything has to be straight and it can't slope at all. And he was very machmir about it. There's another concept that's called Pisrei Shimoi, which is discussed also in the Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara in Menachos, where you have a Pesach that is kind of been bashed out, destroyed, is desolate, it's meshumim, and it's all like kind of broken. It's not a nice straight Pesach, and it seems to come out. Well, it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, but not brought down directly, so to say, in Shulchan Aruch. But it seems to be that Pisrei Shimoi is not a good Pesach. And someone at Taina, that any time you have a Tzurs of Pesach where it's not straight, it's Pisrei Shimoi. You know, it's not a good Pesach. And you can't use that. Rebbe Kager, for example, Taina's, that if the string is on a very big angle, you got one tall pole, one low pole, you're coming down a hill or something, and the string on top, the Kana al gabayim, is on a very big slant, that's Pisrei Shimoi. It's not a normal Pesach. That's a destroyed type of Pesach. And then there's a discussion, how big of an angle are we, Choshes Rekvega or not? And I remember in the Yushalayim Eruv that was coming up, I think by, near Har Zesim or something, they were coming up a very large hill. And they were like, you know, climbing up a hill using a lot of cunning. And you know, it wasn't that big of an angle. They you know, it was not that big, but that's something that to keep in mind. By the way, the Yerushalayim Erev, the Rabbanut Erev Gadol Yerushalayim, is the largest Erev in the world and is the largest Erev in the history of the world, I assume. It wasn't in Bavel. I don't know about the Erev there, but you know, but it's mamish, a tremendously large Erev. I mean, it takes I forgot the amount of kilometers to go around. It's I went around with them one day checking as mamish. It's tremendously large Erev. So we have to. So there's a lot of different issues. So when we make an Erev, like Shalayim Erev, for example, they were very machmir. Everything is very straight. The kanim are straight. The thing is straight. They had a way of tightening them during the week. When they checked the Erev, they could even tighten them. And mamish, it was very impressive. Everything was mamish straight. They really used very few telephone poles, because the government paid for the Erev, and they built their own poles. it was nice, we had to have a karza tova there, to tell the truth. You don't realize that. It was paid by the Mueces Hadatit, and they, you know, and the Badatz Erev had uses, you know, telephone poles and things and wires and so on. They put up their own wires too, in certain shkunot, but they, outside, you know, but the Yushalayim, the Rabbanut Erev, Ruba, except for when I was in the remote area. But besides that, besides getting to Ramot, Yerushalayim proper was mamish their own poles. So that's why there are those that don't want to use Erevin because they're concerned that things aren't straight enough. Now, the poskim are made, you know, the minig is to be mekel, that it doesn't have to be so straight, and if it slopes, it's all right, as long as the wire doesn't go less than 10 tefachim above the ground. And that happens when your wire gets full of ice. You could have a nice wire, if it's a plastic, strong wire, but it gets very heavy. And I've been, it wasn't a city Erev, it was more of a small, a community Erev. I've seen where it sloped down. It was, you know, it was very high up, but it sloped down, and we had to go and measure to make sure it was 10 tefachim high. You know, and you try to tighten it, and it could snap, so you want to be careful about that, you know. So that's another issue. Again, all this is learned from comparing it to lechi. It says the lechi is by a lechi. The lechi has to be, when you have a lechi in front of a mavoi, that's not more than 10 amas, lechi has to be within 3 tefachim of the wall. There are those at Taina that and at Seretz Pesach, Eruv has to be within 3 tefachim of a wall. So, for example, say I want to build an Eruv to go over here. I can't get to the wall because I got some structure here. So I put it over here. There are those that are Taina that's puzzle. This is more than 3 tefachim. It's got to be against the wall. And a lot of backyard Erevim are like that. They can't put it against the house. For some reason, it's not practical. They got to put it a little bit away or something. The barbecue's in the way, whatever it is. And it's a whole shiloh. And Rick Hager and others is a very, that for sure started off the shiloh based on a toast in the first parak. And again, it all comes back, do we compare lechi, Terz Pesach, to lechi or not? Yeah, so those are some of the basic shalas nogea to the Tzuras HaPesach part of it. Then we move along in Maseches Erevin, and Chazal tell us that you could have like a carpe, if you have an area inside an enclosed, inside of a Shusha Yochid, and it's more than a base of sime, more than a 100 by 50 amas area. And it's, there's Royan that are there. There's a fill in making it that it's not so easy to walk through. And that's Mavato, the whole Shusha Yochid, the whole area. If you have this zroin, this area which is not walkable inside a city, that's more than a base of Siam, it's mavatul. That itself is you can't carry in that area, and the rest of Erev is open up to that area. And that'll ruin the whole Erev, and that gets into a shaila that if you have fields and gardens inside a city, does that affect your error, the larger the base of sign? And if how you deal with it, you would have to put a Tzuris HaPesach around that area to close off that area from the rest of the city. So you could have a nice area all around your city, but in the city you have a field, and the Yisroyim, the little diary by Beginshi, is going to go and make it that you can't carry the whole field, in the whole Erev. In Europe, it was very common that they were not makbid in this. There were farms and fields inside the city. Things were a little, weren't as urban as they are today. And the post can discuss, how do we deal with it? This the Gedolei Achronim, very early Achronim, talking the 1600s, like the Dvar Shmuel and others, deal with this shaila, and they had different ways of being miyashiv the minig of why in Europe they weren't so makrid about it. The Divrei Malkiel already early 1900s has a whole new mahalach to explain it. In the Yerushalayim Erev, they have another mahalach to explain it. How to deal with this issue. The Mishmur is pretty machi. He doesn't like a lot of the different yeshuvim, at least given by the early achronim that he brought down. He only wants to be somach and like b'shas et chak. And that's why when we build an eruv, we look at a map of the city and see what's in the city. Are there farms in the city? Are there areas that people cannot live there? Here in the Baltimore eruv, right near Beth Tfila, there's a cornfield that's grown by the belongs to UMBC, I think. Right? Thank you. And it's a large cornfield, and that could ruin the whole eruv. And that's why, if that wasn't there, it would have been easy to build an eruv. Just use the highway wall. We got to come off the highway wall, veer all around that cornfield, which is more difficult part in the eruv over there. And because we want to be careful that there shouldn't be any zroim inside the city. There's a whole discussion, what is zroim? Is it only something that person mamish grows, like a farmer grows something? If you've ever seen a cornfield before, close up, you cannot walk through there normally. I mean, it's mamish. And that's what Chazal considered. Well, something to this, you just have a lot of growth. And in the summertime, have you ever gone hiking or you check an eruv in the summertime, it's a pella how much grows. You know, these weeds and trees and things grow. And there could be in other areas that you just can't walk through. It might be the shear, if you add it all up, it might be the shear of more than a base of sign. Now, most posim hold that if it grows memela by itself, is not a problem. It's only something that a person, the poa, went and grew and vatal the shame dira by it, that's a problem. So we're worried more about like a farmer growing a field. That's more of an issue. This discussion, what about a cemetery inside the city? Because we're not supposed to really sleep too much in a cemetery overnight. It's not good for our resume. Again, the Chabiner was Mekel. He held that it's still royal adira and everything, and that wasn't a problem. But there are cities that are makbid. Here in Baltimore, they also went around the cemetery. The cemetery wall, the fence, is the border of the area, to that side of the city. They purposely got around the cemeteries, zoos and things. And there's a whole discussion in the postgame. How do you define Zeroyim? What's considered Zeroyim? The Chaznish had a tremendous chumrah, which is only said b'shem him, in the brought down in Chaim Kanevsky's Shon HaLachas. He doesn't write in the Sefer. He held any area, empty area that no one was really living there, could be a problem. So he got to some empty field, a place where they make cement or do digging and blowing things up. That could be a problem too, But again, most the minig is that only if it's something that you grow and that you make it, you can't live there. Just because people don't happen to live there, it's an empty area, that's not considered zroin. That's a vatal the mechitza.
What about bodies of water?
Yeah, so bodies of water, very good, is another issue. Chazal tell us that if the water is more than 10 tefachim more high, as long as it's drinkable, or many of you don't hold, is usable to wash your clothes in it, it will not be a problem. Even though it's the pashas in the halacha is that it goes by potential. Lavd after you have to use it, but it's usable. You could go swimming in there. You could go and drink it if you want. Maybe modern day our modern day levels of cleanliness and carefulness about germs, we might not want to drink it, but it could be drinkable. You put it through your Brita filter and, you know, don't tell anyone and probably be all right. Certainly if you go swimming or fishing in there or something, it'll be all right. In Europe, we don't seem to be there makbid in having, there are rivers going through city Erevin. You know, there's a whole discussion about building an Erev, Tzuris HaPesach, over water, the Chasam Sofer and the Marsham and others. They didn't seem to be concerned about it. I spoke to one of the Chassidish Poskim who grew up in Europe. He said they weren't really makbid about that. They didn't call that Zeroyim. That wasn't considered Zeroyim. There are Poskim that are Machmir, and that it has to be Po, this, you know, whether it's a creek or a lake, it has to mamish be used physically by people. And then you have to veer around it, find ways to either use it or veer around it. That's something else that goes. So when you look, when you want to build an urban city, you look at the satellite map and see bodies of water, cemeteries, zoos, fields, and things like that, and to see, and then you have to see where to, how to deal with it in that way.
Forests with trees.
What?
Forests with trees.
Yeah, so trees also that grew mamela, and then Chazal told us that a party is not a problem. Maybe that's a nice party so you could walk through and everything, which, you know, is the mushmos over there. But again, even if a groom may love, you know, there's a lot of growth and things, you know, we're not going to, most of us are not mocked about that.
These areas can be connected, or if it's like different parts of the city, it adds up?
No, it's got to be a base room, more than a base room in one place.
At least connected.
Yeah. I mean, there's discussion, how close, whatever, that's, you know, we could down on that, but... So now we got our Tzuris HaPesach going all around the city. We make sure it's a carmelist. We have a Tzuris HaPesach going all around the city. There's no Zeroyim inside the city. We still cannot carry. Issur Drabanan carry. You need an Eir Chatzeres. Now we come to the sixth parish, the sixth and seventh. Maybe, you know, we come to the towards the end, you know, the next part of the Masechta, and we need an Eir Chatzeres to be able to carry. Chazal and Masake, that although it is a Rishus Yachid, but it looks like Rishus Yachid because there's so many people living there that you need an Eruv Chatzeres, like an apartment. You can't carry an apartment building without an Eruv Chatzeres. So we have to make an Eruv Chatzeres. Chazal tells an Eruv Chatzeres only works for someone who's Motiv Eruv. That means they have to be Jewish and they have to be Motiv Eruv. If someone is a Tzaduki or Karoi and is not mowed in the whole concept of this Erev Chatzeres, he does Deraisa, doesn't hold Drabanans, the Erev Chatzeres is not going to work for him. And the Poskim started, you see, this discussion came up in the 1800s, Nebuch, when, you know, Reform got more popular and started affecting the masses. You know, when we build an Erev in the city, you know, how do we work with the Erev Chatzeres, you know, they're not Motiv Be'erev. You could tell they're a Tinnik Shenishba. How do you look at Tinnik Shenishba? Is a Tinnik Shenishba Motiv Be'erev or not Motiv Be'erev? Now, the Maisi is not Motiv Be'erev, you know, because it's a Tinnik Shenishba. That's the Machlokas, seems to be Mishabur and Chazanish and others. How to look at a Tinnik Shenishba, Lagabi, this, Lagabi. Does the Erev Chatzeres work for him? Also, if a person is a Mumer, do we say he's a Goy? And Erev Chatzeres definitely doesn't work for a Goy. So you say a mumer has a din of a goy for a lot of halachas. His shechita is he's a goy, you know. And do we treat him like a goy? Lagabi this too. So then all this is a discussion. Plus, we don't, you know, there's plenty of goyim around. Eir chatzeres for sure doesn't work for goyim. So Chazal tell us in the sixth parak, you know, you make a schiris reshus, and eir chatzeres works for yidden, and those that are motive eruv, and what that we'll see how to do that. But the for those that, for Goyim, and those that are not covered by the Erev Chatzeres, you have to be socher reshus from them. You have to go from them and basically rent the areas that you need to rent, the area, the public areas that, or if you want to carry into their houses, you have to rent their houses from them. So let's discuss this. So we're going to need, there's two more factors we're going to need, is Erev Chatzeres and Schir Reshus. So how do you make an Erev Chatzeres? So you have to have a grogeres for each person. Now, to have a grogeres for each person in the city is very difficult, especially in a large city. But Chazal tell us that once you hit 18, that'll cover. 18 will cover a million. So you have to have bread. It doesn't have to be bread. It could be cake and cookies, too. That is 18 grogros, which is 8 bayim, which, say, more or less is 8 matzahs. A little less than 8 matzahs. So you have to have a box of 8 matzahs. And you mezaka that to everyone in the whole city. And it's included, some say, automatically, or we're careful to try to say it, the favors includes even people that are going to move into the city. And we're mezaka that to everyone. So there's an Erev Chatzeres for everyone in the whole city. Now, the Erev Chatzeres has to be placed in the Mokum Dira. It has to be put into a house or something. Now, this goes back to the same Shiloh. Well, what are we? Are we a Chatzer? Are we a Mavoi? A Mavoi, Chazal say, if you have a lot of Chatzeres that join into a Mavoi also needs something to restrict it all together. It's not as strict. You don't need bread. You can have other types of food also. Plus, a Mavoi, the sheet of Mavuros, doesn't have to be put in the Mokum Dira. It can be put in a Chatzer also. So what is our city? Do we need bread, like a Chatzer? Can we just do it with wine or something else like a Mavoi? And where do we put this? The Ramos says that we're knowing Gabi this, that we have a din of a Mavoi, and we put it in a shul, which is not a Mokum Dira, and then they put the box of matzahs not in the Rav's house, or in, they put it in a shul, which is not a Mokum Dira. They're relying on the fact that it's a Mavoi. But then Chazal say, if you make a Shita Mavuros, you also need an Erev Chatzeres. That's what it sounds like. So the Rama says the way we do it, to make a long story short, is that the sheet of Mavuros covers Erev Chatzeres too. We don't do a separate Erev Chatzeres. We make our sheet of Mavuros out of bread, out of matzahs, and that'll cover it. So therefore, basically, we have a box of matzahs, or we have matzahs because they don't rot. They last every year. Every year at Pesach, we change the box of matzahs. It has happened in the middle of the year, the matzahs were found to be moldy. If they're not really roi l'achila, can't scrape off the mold and eat them, then they're not good. So on the average, you assume matzahs should stay, throughout the whole year. And anytime you have an Erev Chatzeres, they have Erev Chatzeres in the yeshiva, they have an Erev Chatzeres in a bungalow colony. You have to have your Erev Chatzeres there. If there's no Erev Chatzeres, you cannot use the Erev. It's partially usable. I'd make a long story short, we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, that if you don't have an Erev Chatzeres, you can't carry from one house to another house, or from a house to a chatzer, or a chatzer to a house. But if your stroller was outside, you could take your stroller all around the city. Just don't bring it into any house. So you don't have Erev Chatzeres, you just can't carry from bias to chatzer, chatzer to bias. But once it's already outside, you can carry it going right around the city. Okay, but obviously that's not so practical. And we want to make sure we have an Erev Chatzeres. So we took the Erev Chatzeres, and everyone is included. Whoever moves to the city of Baltimore is included in the Baltimore Erev Chatzeres. You make a bracha on Erev Chatzeres, and v'chule, again, we mazak it to everyone in the city, make a bracha on it. Now, but goyim, those that are not motive by Erev, we're going to need a schiris reshus. Because I'll tell us a kula, that you can have what we call a schiris ru'ua, a very shvacha renting, even less than a pruta. Today, a penny, even 2 pennies, is less than a pruta. You could go and rent the streets and areas in the city, even the houses of the goyim, whatever it is, and you could go and rent that area from someone who has the ability to rent it to you, to rent it out to you. And therefore, that'll work for that area. Chazal, even though that a house of a goy is not considered a mokum dira, Chazal wanted us to do skir. It's just very interesting. That we should not learn from the goyim. Make it uncomfortable that we shouldn't want to be full comfortable amongst goyim. They're misaking skiris reshus because of that. And it is uncomfortable going to a goy and asking, can we rent your place? This is nogeira apartment buildings. That you have goyim, not from people living in an apartment building. Not from people is a deal, but certainly going in there, you're going to need skiris reshus. We paskin, it's my focus in the sixth paragraph, we paskin that if there's only one goy there, one goy and everyone else is yidden, you don't need skiris reshus. That proportion, we're not worried about it. But once there's a, if it's, rather, meaning if it's one yid and goyim, then we're not worried about it. But once it's two yidim and a goy, then you need a skiris reshus. So obviously, there's, you know, we in our cities we need a we need a skiris reshus in our cities. Yeah. So the shala. So you know, when it was the city was owned in the Middle Ages, you know, there was a person who owned the city. You know, there was the way it was done then. And he had reshus to kick anyone out, you know, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar, we were always being kicked out of cities. You know, he owned the city, he collected the tax, or whatever he wanted to do, and it wasn't, definitely was not democratic. And so it was nice and easy, you know. Even when it wasn't that extreme, but you had a king who had the ability to do that, the king or the whoever ruled that particular area under the king, who could just come one day and kick you out, as he did again with plenty of Yidden throughout the ages of Chalal Islam. You know, it wasn't democratic at all. He definitely had full control to just knock your door down in the middle of the night and kick you out, and therefore we had the hours of Mila, so to say, that we could go and rent it from him. As, you know, the French Revolution, everything else, American Revolution, when the world became more democratic, it got more and more difficult. How do you do this? You know, who do we go to rent from? Who has the koach? You know, is the mayor enough? And the mayor is not just the mayor. He has a council. Is the governor, maybe the police, maybe the army. You know, who has the car to do it? And the minig was always to go to the mayor, and that's what they did in the New York. They made the New York air of many, many years ago. Jonas Steif writes about it. You know, the minig is you give like a dollar to the mayor. And his technical issues, how to do that legally. But the... And your socher reshus from the mayor, you know, and but that is a big issue today. That a lot has been written on that. Is that really good enough? And that's why you'll see the bedatz in Eretz Yisrael does it through the army. You know, some do the mayor. The mayor controls the police, and you know, question how much cost do the police have to just, you know, come into your house and things like that. You could tie now that the government, the city government, owns something in your house. They own the your water meter, your gas meter, perhaps. You know, maybe they own something. They have something in your house that might be okay. You know, all these are diunim and how to apply it, and that is another reason why someone would want to not use an eruv. Everything could be fine. You know, he might not be worried all the issues until now. But there are those that are worried about the skiris reshus shvach. So therefore, if you live in an area in Eretz Yisrael, a nice, you know, frum shchuna, that there is no single goy, a non frum yid that lives there, you know, then you got it made. You make a little erev around your shchuna, around Manasdorf or Unsdorf or Ezra's Torah, and you don't have to worry about that. And that's one reason why those communities do that. You know, they don't want any reshus rabim issues. They don't want any serious reshus issues. You know, they want to make a nice glatt mahadrin erev, so to say. I mean, when I was living in Har Nof, there were some people counted on their fingers how many non-frum people lived in Har Nof. And the Har Nof started off as a non-frum neighborhood when it first started, and eventually became a frum neighborhood. But there's still some non-frum, and people had concerns about the Eskir Shush because of that. You know, you could walk up to them and give them a dollar, but, you know, and give them a shekel, whatever it is.
How often do you have to redo the skills?
What?
How often do you have to redo the skills?
Yeah, because we'll see about that. So Erech HaTzeres we do once a year, and the Eskir Shush we go, and we're Socha Rishush from the mayor. I mean, here's, I'll give you, read off a proclamation here. It's a whole thing, I'm just going to read off the main part. It says over here, whereas the office of the mayor of the city of Baltimore, Maryland, has been requested to rent to the Sabbath observing persons who currently reside within. By the way, this is not what the Baltimore Arab used. I'm just using it. It has the city of Baltimore in it, but they use a little different nusach here. But I'm just saying this. I'm just using a general nusach. You have the boundaries of the Arab are written in here. And it says, you know, Orthodox Jews requires a grant of rights by a governing official with authority over the properties of the district. The mayor of whatever has been requested to rent to the Sabbath observing persons. Now, the skirs of shush is to all of us. Every single person who lives in Baltimore is part of that scripture. It says, you were socha rishus from the mayor. And here in Baltimore, they also do the mayor and they do the governor also. They did both together, which is also makes it a more mehudar to get erev. And our erev taka is for a city erev, is Baruch Hashem, a very, very mehudar to get erev. So, and it covers all the people that move in. It covers all the goyim that are going to move in. But every single one of you is socha rishus. Because if the skirish just lasts for a long time, we should all live in Hunun Svan Sigur, you know, if only one person does the skirish shus, and you know, and if he's no longer here, or perhaps he goes away for Shabbos or moves away, you know, that could be a problem, depending, I mean, or whatever. So we make sure, you know, every one of us is socha rishus. So when they go to the mayor or governor and give him this dollar to rent, it's for every single person in the city, whoever's even going to move into the city.
And become from during the year, who already lives here.
What?
And who becomes from exactly. During the year.
Does it exactly. Also cover newly elected mayors and governors?
Yeah, so yeah, it covers, as long as it's the same government, then it'll be all right. As in, to rent the Sabbath observing person who currently reside within the boundaries, it says, he rent to the Sabbath observing person. It says, to every person who shomer Shabbos within the boundaries of this Erev, who will reside within those boundaries in the future, even those people who are going to move in. Again, this nusach says 50 years. Some don't have any. The poskim recommend having some 20 years, 50 years. They recommend having some time to it, but you got to remember, in 50 years to renew this. You know? So that's for a fee of one United States dollar in hand pay, the rights to the domain within the aforesaid area for the purpose of carrying on the Sabbath and other Jewish holidays in accordance with Orthodox Jewish law. And then you have Adam sign it. You know, that is the Skir Shushus.
What is the boundary
change? What? Yes, yeah, so I was in one city where they wrote the exact boundaries of the Erev, which probably they shouldn't have. They should have made it a little bigger. And there's a shaila that across, you know, right one, you know, crossing the Erev was an apartment building they wanted to include. And the question, you had got to go back and write the whole thing. And, you know, you do want to make larger boundaries and not just have, you know, the exact, because Erevs do grow. We've extended the Baltimore Erev, you know, over the years. So the Yishalayim Erev is growing. Even as big as they make it, Baruch Hashem, Yishalayim is growing and growing. And, you do want to, you know, be careful about that. So that's our Skir Shushus. Most poskim hold, like the Mogen Avraham, that Skir Shushus would also work for Yidden, as long as it's done before Shabbos, which is usually done. It'll work for Yidden too. But someone at Taina, then you can't just have a Skiris Ru'ua, you got to have real good Skiris. You need more than a Pruta, which we usually use anyways, and different details go into that. You know, for Goyim, Skiris Ru'ua is enough. For Yidden, you need a real Skiris. The Erev has to be checked, just like we check our tzitzis to make sure they're all right. There's no exact shear, you just have to set some zman down, because otherwise, as we all know, as Chazal told himself, as Erevim, but kidur de bei shutfi, if something that's done, controlled by the tzibur, everyone else thinks the other person took care of it. You know, lo krivi lo chamimi, it never gets taken care of. So that's why we point someone to check the Erev, and it's done every week. And you do have to make sure that the Erev, practically speaking, is strong enough. Meaning, if there's vandalism, if the particular Erev is in a place where the weather affects it, it's not built strong enough, you know, then that's just a practical thing. You know, if your tzitzis keep on breaking, you know, then you don't have such good tzitzis, that's a practical thing. You do have to make sure that the Erev has a good chazaka to it and is built strong enough and is built in a way in that particular city that it's standing. You know, I was in one city and in the middle of the forest there was vandalism. They would take down the Erev every week. It was right in the middle of the forest. I don't know what people were doing out there in the middle of some forest. You know, so it was like, you know, so it's something that, you know, that you have to be on top of. And there are tshuvas and poskim in Europe where the goyim would purposely take down the Erev and discussing how can you make an Erev to veer around the vandalism. You know, it was, Baruch Hashem, we usually don't have those issues, certainly not such common issues. And this is the makeup of the Erev. It's something we should appreciate what the Erev is all about. And appreciate those that use the Erev. Now you see why some people don't want to use the Erev. But the Erev has to be used, L'shem Shemayim, to enhance Kedusha Shabbos, and Chas V'Shalom not to be used for sport or things, which mamish is a chilul Shabbos. And Chazal tell us how the terrible things that never happened from that. And Rachamu Litzlan. So, and we shall all be zochet to understand Hilchos Erevin.